On the, you know what? I wanted to grab a bulletin. Who's? Can I grab a bulletin from someone just real quickly? Thanks, Kathy. Well, thank the handle, I should say. Just the handle. Yeah, I want that. Here, this one. Sorry, I should have brought one up. On the back of your little sermon notes, sorry, Kathy, it's right here. See, you guys can share it. I got this probably over 30 years ago. And I can't remember if it was given to me or where I got it from. But if you, it's called Dad Over the Years. And, of course, it goes 4 years. My daddy can do anything. 8-year-old, 8 years. Dad doesn't know quite everything. 12 years, oh well. Naturally, Dad doesn't understand. 14 years, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years, oh, that man is out of date. What would you expect? Some of this is kind of registering and bringing back a little bit from years ago. 25 years. He comes up with a good idea now and then. 30 years. Let's find out what Dad thinks. 35 years. A little patient. This gets Dad's input first. 50 years. What would Dad have thought about it? 60 years. I wish I could talk it over with Dad once more. And that usually pretty well adds up what it is for our fathers, is it not? And, you know, for some of us, our dads are gone already, and they're not with us, but in our hearts, in our minds. So Father's Day. Does anybody know the background of Father's Day? Nobody shakes their heads. Well, I did a little research to find out, so I learned something new as well, okay? Father's Day, as we know it today, was first created by a woman named Sonora Smart. I think it's spelled, her last name is Dobie. Quite an interesting name, isn't it? Of Spokane, Washington. She was listening to a Mother's Day sermon, and she was compelled to establish a celebration for fathers as well. Her father was a widower, and is also a Civil War veteran. So you think about this American history, so that goes back quite a ways. He raised her and 5 siblings for 21 years after their mother died. She encouraged local churches to institute a day observance for fathers and chose June 19th in 1910 as the first day to observe Father's Day. And the reason? Her father was born in June. All right. Even though it was widely celebrated for decades, Father's Day wasn't officially recognized as a national day observance until 1972. So, that's the background to Father's Day, and I sort of found that out as I was putting this together this morning. And, of course, on your bulletin outlets, I want to share with you 15 suggestions for the home. Probably all looked at some of you guys' expressions, kind of said, no, there's only 5 on there. Actually, I do have 15, but I chose 5 from what I had dug up, all right? So I'm not going to do all 15. Nothing earth-shattering about them. And they're all for all of us, just not for fathers, but for every one of us here. They are practical, everyday advices, suggestions, and they're needed in every family. And the reason they're needed is because our families are in trouble today. The family is under attack from every front of society, even within the church. There are evil forces and sinister forces that have attached themselves to both, even, like I said, within the church. And they're destroying our families. The families are unraveling in front of us. And what we need to do, I think, is to get back into God's Word. We need to study it. I've often heard that, you know, when we have our children, we have no manual given to us to how to raise them. And I often thought, well, what is this for? Here's your manual to raise your children. All right, it's right here. You need to get back into God's Word. Learn from God's Word how to build our families, how to look after them, run them, even to protect our families. So we need to pick up our Bibles and discover what God says about how to be a father, and even how to raise our children, even how to run our homes today. So I want to begin by looking at a Christian father is God's representative. Basically, he's a human counterpart of God within the home. Christian Father is not only there to be the breadwinner, that was like many years ago, but today we have dual breadwinners in the house. Mom and dads are both breadwinners in the home. But a Christian father is to be an example. The example of Christ within the home. He is to be the instructor, the one that teaches, the one that leads. He is to be the high priest. He is the one who is to represent his family before God. We think of Job, when Job sacrificed for the sins of his family, his children. That's what we are to be. We are to be disciplinarians. And that's a big topic as well. We're going to look at that a little bit today. Spiritual guide. He is all these things and more for his family. And of course, if we looked at God's word, we'd find that some fathers were really good. Some were just downright terrible. But God has put those in the Bible so that we would learn from them what to do and what not to do. In fact, if we look at Genesis 18:19, we find these words about Abraham. It says, God singled Abraham out so that he would what? Direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord and to do what is right and just. So it just doesn't just include fathers, it also includes grandfathers, and great-grandfathers have a big influence on their families' lives. We also find one in the New Testament, the Philippian jailer. We find this one in Acts 16, 31 to 35. Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with the entire household." Then Paul and Silas shared the word of the Lord with the jailer and all who lived in his household. In that same hour, the jailer washed Paul and Silas's wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Then he brought Paul and Silas into his house, set a meal before them, and his entire household rejoiced. And what is the reason why they rejoiced? Because they all believed God. They saw the transformation in his life that the rest of the family followed and believed in Jesus and what was being spoken. However, today the Father has come to mean many things. And when I've looked at some commercials on TV and some of the other places on media, I discovered that sometimes fathers are represented as wimpy. Wimpy. And I think of that Amoco commercial years ago where the fellow is the young fellow that cleans out the service bay. And he can't figure out how to get the water out of the hose because he hasn't turned it on. But yet he wants to change the transmission. That's kind of the idea that some fathers are portrayed as. Some fathers are portrayed as dull and boring. Some of them as a ramble type guy. Or a macho man. All these different things. Of course, if you're laughing about macho man, you know who I'm talking about, right? Maybe, you know. But I think if the family is to grow and develop into what God wants, we need to get away from those images and actually see what a father is in a home. Christian fathers have to take their God-given places within their families, and I think that's one of the greatest needs today, is to muster the courage to stand in the face of what is going on today and lead his family in biblical and godly ways, to be an influence in their lives, leading them and guiding them in the ways of God. And Christian fathers can do this with God's help, but they must dedicate themselves. It's a lot of work to building strong, godly homes and families. Of course, most of our society today, our responsibility has basically been placed upon mom, because our fathers go out to work and then home again. Some of us go for hours on for days. But the godly fathers need to have the courage to lift high the standards of Jesus in their families. They need to do the leading. And God needs Christian fathers with consecrated knowledge to teach their children, but not only their children. How many of you guys got grandchildren already? Yes. How many of your great-grandfathers? Do you have children? How many great-grandfathers do we have here? Right. You? If you have great-grandchildren, you are to also lead them in godly ways. Teach them the difference between what is right and wrong. So your representative counterpart of God within your home. Now, here are 5 suggestions, not 15, that I want to give to all fathers, but it's for everyone here as well. First, be certain that you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. In this confusing, mixed-up world we live in, it is difficult for Christian fathers to be a good husband. The world pulls at us either way. A good provider, a good leader. We need God's help. But at times, as a father, or myself personally, we find the world pulls us here and there and drags us around. Sometimes we find ourselves too busy in our own worlds to spend time with our families and to lead them in godly ways. And because we do not, there's usually conflict within the home. And sometimes, I don't know how I'm going to say this or think it through, I think one of the reasons why we have these struggles in our homes is because maybe as a father, our relationship with our Heavenly Father is not the way it should be. Maybe there's something there that needs to be dealt with. But the first step is to make sure that Jesus is Savior and Lord. And we find these words in Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, when Jesus is in our hearts, especially as fathers, life has purpose. Has purpose. And we can demonstrate that purpose to our families and our children. With God, with Jesus in our hearts, we have a new commitment. We allow Jesus to be the one that leads us and to help us lead our families in everyday life. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, unless, who builds the house? The Lord builds the house. The builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. God has to be in charge. Even though we're helping, he still has to be in charge. That means the secret for a successful family is a deep relationship with Jesus. And it begins with him being Savior and Lord of not just a little bit of life, but all of life. Second one, build that good and happy and successful home. So often fathers take their home for granted. And there are times they're not willing to be inconvenient, disturbed by their pleasure, their recreations, or the mundane events of home. And sometimes there are fathers that just don't take their responsibilities seriously. They don't. They just nig on them. I don't know what it is, something within them. But God has placed the father at the head of the home. And they have a tremendous and overwhelming accountability. A judge made this comment, and I wrote this down quite a while ago. He wrote this down in his memoirs. He says, when I retire, I'm going to write a book and call it, I Hate Parents. Don't know if he ever wrote it. And the reason he did that, he was so disgusted with the way parents reneged on their primary duties. The training of their children in their homes. I do know that there are parents who don't even know where their children are. They don't know where they are. Don't even know where they are today. And in some instances, they don't care. I know of a few. I've heard and seen and witnessed parents who've gone away for a weekend or on a vacation and left their parents at home to fend for themselves. Just left them. Go out and enjoy life for themselves. And they come home and their house is destroyed. at one of those experiences, and they said, what do we do wrong? Our kids are good. Me, I'm pretty blunt, you know what I said? Did you look in the mirror? Did you look in the mirror? And this is one comment that was said by a father, and I pay for my kids' clothes, I feed them, I give them allowance. What more do you expect of me? Many fathers do not realize they are just as responsible for their child's mental and spiritual growth and character building as they are for their physical needs. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Did you notice it did not say the way they want to go? Or would go? But the way they should go. The way they should go. And I'm going to tell you one thing from personal. When you begin to teach your children to go the way that they should go, they're going to be in a battle. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be heartaches. Because they want to go this way. But you know that they should go this way. And there's going to be struggles. And you're going to lock heads from time to time. That means giving direction. And I know that talking about discipline is not a very popular subject. All types of reactions take place. We must discipline, and we need to be careful that we not overdo it. Discipline is much more than a belt to the rear. And I don't know, when my dad grew up, he must have taken discipline 101 at school sometime. Because I can remember him taking his belt off. And as he was taking it off, he could hear it as it hit every belt loop. Smack, smack, smack. And then he would flick it in the air, snap it, and then he'd fold it and go slap. And I knew I was in a world of pain. I knew it. But discipline is much more than that. It is words of comfort in the stuff that they're going through. It is words of encouragement. It is words of a direction and words of advice. It means to know when to say yes, no, or wait. It's also a time to pray for God's direction and how we are to go and in which way we are to go. That involves our children in those times as well. Third one is make time for your children. I think for myself personally, this is one of the biggest mistakes I made. Was not spending more time with my children. There was a time for me, it was all work. I can tell you right now, when I was younger, I was a workaholic. I could work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. No time for my family. And I did when it only suited my schedule. But I'm thankful that God gets a hold of you in certain ways. And it's amazing how he changes that thinking. We were living in the Vancouver area, and of course, driving, let's say, from here to Canoosa or to Smith, it would take you an hour and a half, 2 hours just to go that distance because it was just a moving parking lot. We moved from there to Vernon. Liked it there, loved it there, but financially wasn't very good. And then we prayed about it, and we actually went north to Prince George and northern Prince George to live and work. Best time ever. I ended up working 5 days a week. So many hours a day, regulating what I did, and began to spend more time with my kids and my family. So God sometimes moves us in different directions, and sometimes we got to listen. A couple of things I learned was that children, whether at home or in the yard, require a great deal of time. And most importantly, they want their father's time. They crave it and long for it. And when you spend more time with your children, what I learned was that I became more approachable. I was available for them to talk to me about their needs and their problems. We are to make ourselves the center of their lives and making sure that they see Jesus within us. Also, too, set a good example. The most powerful way a father can teach their children is by example. If a father's relationship with their children is good, they will feel comfortable with their father, and they will return their love and obedience to their father. And they will naturally want to be like their father, particularly as they become adults. And I'm going to talk about a friend of mine. His name is Michelle. He has a son named Tim. Tim is in his early 20s now. Tim is a wonderful young man. Did you know that he's got a beard? Nice one. Nice black beard. Just like his dad. When he goes gets his hair cut, it's just like his dad's. And then I noticed in a picture, he got the same glasses as his father. You put them side by side, and you can't tell the difference. Except for one's older and one's younger. That's the only difference. But here's the rest of the story. Tim's adopted. He's adopted. That's how much influence he had on Tim's life. In fact, some of our children would talk like their dads. Even their point of voice will sound like their fathers. Your fathers are loud and boisterous and yell a lot. What do you think your children are going to be like? I'm not going to go that way. I'm just going to leave it right there. I got one child that's like that because that's the way I used to be. If their father is very sensitive and honest and understanding, they learn to reflect those same qualities. Put it simply, a father wants their children to reflect Jesus in their lives. They must be a good example of Christ. They must display good qualities that your children can take into life and help them develop. Paul used a beautiful illustration in 1 Thessalonians. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So he used some words in that passage. We are to encourage our children, not discourage them. We're to give them positive feedback. We're to let them know that we're interested in their lives and what they are doing and their accomplishments. We need to love them, as I said on Mother's Day, to love them unconditionally, no matter what happens in life or how they turn out. Or what they have done or doing. We are to love them unconditionally and pray for them as well. And fathers must be able to identify with their children's hurt, even with their anger. And when your children are angry, you must learn to be patient and quiet and give words of advice. And there's urging, which means motivation. So fathers to encourage their children to live lives worthy of God. The motivation to live such a life comes from a father being an example. And that example will touch every area of their children's lives, meeting their personal and spiritual needs. It must be an example of faith in Christ. The fifth one I want to look at is, I'm going to go back to correction again. A little different, but don't be afraid to correct. If we were to read from Genesis to Revelation, we'll discover that God's words teach that the fathers ought to correct their children. Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, bring them up in the what? The training and instruction of the Lord. And then in Proverbs 23:13 it says, God reminds fathers not to withhold discipline from their children. And of course, Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children, and they will give you what? Peace. And will bring delight to your soul. Correction is not always like a stick or a belt or a wooden spoon. The greatest means of correction is that a father can give their children to set an example before them. Examples that they will emulate in life. One thing we may not understand, did you know that our children will acquire our characteristics, our traits, do the same things that we do, or did, and we don't want them to do, but they still do them? God commands us to train our children the way they should go. And sometimes, as fathers, we carry discipline too far. Way too far. Colossians 3:21 says, Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Bitter means to rouse to anger, and discouraged, which means to be disheartened, to break one's spirit. I think the way in which a father corrects their children will shape their personality and especially influence how they relate to themselves and others. So, we need to correct, but we need to be careful as well, not to overdo it. I think I'm going to close. To be a father is a tremendous responsibility, is it not? A tremendous responsibility, not just for father, but grandfathers. You're going to have your children for a little while, then you're going to have grandchildren that come into your home. Maybe great-grandchildren. Teach them the ways of God's word. Are you the kind of father that God wants you to be? Are you the kind of father, kind of husband in your home that God wants you to be? And God holds fathers responsible for the spiritual and physical welfare of their home and their children. And remember, it's only with God's help our fathers going to be the kind of fathers they ought to be to their children, to their wife, and to their family as well. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I know there's a lot more that we can talk about on being a father. And you are our Heavenly Father. And we thank you that you are there with us, helping us. Father, our homes are in trouble. Not all of them, but many of them are. Father, I just lift those ones that are up to you. I pray that you will be there with them and guide them. Father, help us today to be good examples to not just our children, but our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And help them and lead them into relationship with you. In thy name, amen.